Hello Vista Baptist Church, and all those who are not a part of Vista Baptist Church tuning in with us again for yet another psalm devotion. The text for our devotion in this video is Psalm 98. So if you have a copy of God's Word, turn with me to Psalm 98. Again, that is Psalm 98. And as you turn there, I'm going to ask that God would just bless our time as we seek to study His Word. Heavenly Father, I thank You for another time to study Your Word. God, I pray that You would be with Your people as we are scattered and not gathering currently. I pray, God, that You would just give them strength, that You would give them encouragement, that You would help them to cleave to the everlasting hope that they have in Your Son. And as this psalm calls us to, that You would help us to be a people that rejoices in Your salvation. God, I pray that You would be glorified in what is done here in this video. We pray this in Your Son's name. Amen. In this video, I come to you from my porch looking out at the church. It is another gorgeous day, and it's only supposed to get better as the day goes on. And I hope that you have a good day today. I hope that you have enjoyed the good outdoors as I wave to a church member now. As they drive by, I hope that you're staying safe, and I hope that you're able to take what I aim to teach you from this passage to heart and to put it into practice. So if you would, look at Psalm 98. We'll read it in its entirety now. Beginning in verse 1, O sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm have worked salvation for Him. The Lord has made known His salvation. He has revealed His righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered His steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen and the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make joyful noise before the Lord, or before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and all who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands, let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. May God bless the reading of His holy word. The big idea of this devotion, which is drawn from this psalm, is one word. It's rejoice. Rejoice. And that is an encouragement, an exhortation to you to rejoice, to give thanks, to celebrate. We are called in Scripture to be a people that even amid suffering, even amid struggles, even amid confusion, even amid despondency and difficulty, we are called to rejoice. And why would we rejoice? Well, I believe that the psalmist gives us three reasons. And to begin with, rejoice in Yahweh's salvation. Rejoice in Yahweh's salvation. I draw this from verses 1 through 3. Go ahead and follow along with me. O sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm have worked salvation for Him. The Lord has made known His salvation. He has revealed His righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered His steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All to the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. many commentators, especially the older ones who have since passed, see this as a prophetic psalm. It's a psalm that looks forward. It's a psalm that ultimately finds its final fulfillment in the redemption of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what this is looking forward to. It's calling us, it's calling Israel at that time to look forward to the salvation to come. It's calling us to look forward or look backward to the salvation that Jesus accomplished and to look forward to the return of Christ when that salvation that he inaugurated or he accomplished in the cross, it will be brought to culmination when he raises us from the dead to be resurrected like he is, to never die again. And one of the reasons that we might glean this from this text is this idea of God's righteousness being revealed in salvation. If you go to the book of Romans, chapter 3, beginning, I believe, in verse 20-21, there's this transition talking about, but now the righteousness of God has been made apart from the law, although the law and prophets bear witness to it. A righteousness from God by faith, it says. And what is this righteousness of God that is received by faith? It is the righteousness of God in redeeming sinners in and through the sacrificial work of the Lord Jesus. See, this is what many Christians call Holy Week. This is the week in which we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, in which he rose from the dead. But in order to get to that glorious day where he defeated death, we have to also remember his death. We have to remember that he died. We have to remember even before that, that he was born, that he lived in righteousness, and then he died as a substitute for his people. And when Christ died, he made a sufficient payment for our sins. He was bearing wrath not for his sin, but for your sin and for my sin. He took it upon himself. And when Jesus lived righteously, he didn't only live righteously for himself, but he lived righteously for sinners like you and me. So that when we believe in the Lord Jesus, his perfect standard, his perfect religious resume of righteousness before God, it is transferred to our account. And that sin in which we have incurred throughout our life, that sin in which we inherited from Adam, it was placed upon him on the cross. And the right hand of God here in this psalm, his holy arm that has worked salvation for him. Well, that's talking about Jesus. Jesus is God the Son incarnate. He is the right hand of God. He is the power or the means through which God accomplishes salvation. That is, he is the one who accomplishes what the Father planned and what the Spirit applies. And this is in the Old Testament that we're reading about this. That we're reading about the Redeemer. That we're reading about the redemption accomplished on our behalf. And this salvation, it's not limited to Israel. That is the ethno-national people. It's made before the nations. It says, in the text, it says, he has been revealed, or he has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. It's for Gentiles like you and me. For sinners like you and me. And the text does say that God kept his promises to Israel. It was to Israel that the Redeemer was promised. Or rather, it was from Israel that the Redeemer was promised. It was from Israel that salvation would break forth under the nations. That's why Paul in Romans says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for all those believe, to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. It emanates from Israel. It comes from physical Israel, but it transcends and blows beyond Israel to Gentiles like us. We have every reason to rejoice because God is faithful to what He promised. As God promised Israel that there would be one who comes from them, who all the nations would be blessed through, as God promised, as we'll hear about this Sunday, a servant who would come, who would suffer in the place of His people, taking on the wrath for them, paying for their sins, and rising victoriously to see the blessings or the results of His redemption accomplished. And we read about this on Isaiah 53. As God promised that, He fulfilled it in the birth, and in the life, and in the death, and in the burial, and in the resurrection, and in the ascension, and one day in the future return of our Lord Jesus. So we rejoice in Yahweh's salvation. We rejoice that our God saves, that salvation belongs to Him, and He saves. And He saves in and through His Son, Jesus Christ. And for a believer, what more do you need to rejoice? We could stop there. Rejoice in the salvation that you have in the Lord Jesus. Rejoice in the hope that you have because of what Jesus has done and what God has promised He will do in the wake of Jesus' return. So rejoice in Yahweh's salvation. Secondly, rejoice in Yahweh's victory. Obviously, these two things are related. Rejoice in Yahweh's victory. Look at verses 4 through 6. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make joyful noise before the King, the Lord. The psalmist is calling upon all the earth to come and rejoice, to sing praises with joy to God, to use every means that we have, every means at our disposal, we are to use to worship God, to rejoice in Him, to use lyre, to make melody with our voice, to use trumpets and the sound of the horn. These were instruments that were used in the Old Testament in temple worship. They were used when Joshua and Israel circled around Jericho and the trumpets were sounded and the walls fell down. It's talking about those trumpets. It was used also to signal to Israel that they were to move in the wilderness. But in this context, Yahweh and God through this psalm is calling us to praise in light of what has been said and fulfilled in verses 1 through 3. The victory of Yahweh. We have a victorious God. He accomplishes that which He promises. He defeats His enemies. He is victorious. And we may imitate the psalmist here in calling the nations to rejoice, in calling the unbelievers, in our unbelieving neighbors, or the unbelievers in the unreached peoples of the world. We are to call not only each other who have believed on the Lord Jesus to rejoice in the victory of God's salvation in Him, but we are to call all peoples indiscriminately to rejoice in the victory of Yahweh. In Christ, God has defeated sin, death, and Satan. It is a glorious victory. And we await that victory to reach its full revelation at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the prophet speaks, or the psalmist who is speaking prophetically, speaks in the past tense in verses 1 through 3 because it is such a fixed and certain thing that God will accomplish what is prophesied here. And that is victory and salvation in Christ. So if you are not a believer, I call upon you to rejoice in the victory of our Lord Jesus. To rejoice in Him first by believing in Him, by trusting in Him for salvation. And I call you, Christian, to ponder this psalm, to ponder the significance of what it is that we celebrate this week, that what this psalm is talking about here, hundreds of years before it ever happened, was accomplished in the life and death of our Lord Jesus. And indeed, every Sunday is a celebration and a commemoration and a reminder that Jesus died and rose again for sinners like you and me. He was victorious. Christian, rejoice in Yahweh's salvation and rejoice in Yahweh's victory. The third and final point is this. Rejoice in Yahweh's judgment. Rejoice in Yahweh's judgment. So we have salvation, we have victory, and we have judgment. These are all interrelated. They can't be disentangled from one another. But read with me in verses 7 through 9. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and all who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy before the Lord, for He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the people with equity. The psalmist calls all of creation to rejoice in the coming of the Lord. The Lord has visited upon people and nations throughout all of human history. But all those judgments that we have witnessed in the past, they are foreshadowing a great and final judgment. They are all foreshadowing the final coming of the Lord. That is, the Lord Jesus, God the Son incarnate, when He comes back in glory. And when He comes, He will come at least with a twofold purpose. To deliver His people from final judgment, and to judge those who have not received Him. Those who continue to suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Those who reject Him. He will come and He will judge them. And when He comes and judges all of the earth, all of creation is to rejoice in God's judgment. For in the wake of that judgment, all things will be made new. Death and Satan and all who have rebelled and continue in rebellion against our Lord Jesus will be cast into the lake of fire. That smoke goes up forever and ever. But the saints, that is all who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, they will be set on a new earth. What Scripture describes as the heavenly Jerusalem or the promised land, the fulfillment of what Canaan foreshadowed in the Old Testament. That Jesus will lead us into there, that he will place us there, and that he will reign with and among us for all eternity. As our risen and returned Redeemer and King. And that eternity, it will be glorious. All the tears that are shed over the difficulties we now experience. In the wake of his return, he will wipe them away. All the vestiges of the curse that was brought upon us due to the rebellion of Adam, our first father, and that rebellion that continues in us, all of that will be undone. And the world, the new earth, will be better than Eden. It will extend further. It will include more people. And it will last forever. There won't be another fall. When Jesus returns, and he makes all things new, we will dwell with him forever. And live in perfection forever. So we rejoice in this. We rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. We rejoice in the salvation that God has brought about in and through him. We rejoice in the victory that he has accomplished on our behalf. And that victory in which you and I become benefactors of by way of our union with him. And we rejoice in God's judgment. The judgment is a terrifying thing, or should be, for the unbeliever. But the judgment for the Christian, it means our final salvation. So let us rejoice in this time. For no matter what is going on in your life, no matter how difficult things are right now, there is nothing that can take away from the salvation that you have in Christ. There is nothing that is going on in your life that can take away from the victory that Christ has accomplished on your behalf and shares with you. No matter what is going on in your life, there is nothing that can stop our Lord Jesus from coming again and judging with perfect equity and righteousness and making all things new. Rejoice in Yahweh. Rejoice in his salvation. Rejoice in his victory, and rejoice in his judgment. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the psalm and the reminder to rejoice. Oh, how I need it. Oh, how we all need that reminder. And God, I pray that you would use this to help your people rejoice, even within difficult circumstances. God, have your way with your people. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.